So throughout history, you know that a lot of people have attempted to identify what is known in the Bible as the Antichrist. You know, throughout history, you can go back. I remember there was a pope named John Paul II. A lot of people thought he was the Antichrist, or he was the beast. And you hear that. Like I said, you might not know a lot about the Bible, but you heard the term the beast, the Antichrist, the tribulation, and things like that. Almost like the bad part of the book of Revelation. So throughout times, and I guarantee you, there have been people, when Barack Obama was the president, because of what he was doing, there were some people that came and said that he was going to be the Antichrist. He was the beast. Like I said, a lot of that is going on in our world today. Today in our world, there are many religious people connecting the events, whatever they hear, whatever's happening in our current events, they're trying to connect that to make it fit into the Bible. But we should never read the Bible like that. You know, it's almost like, well, maybe that's it. And they try to come up with some kind of code. You know, that's how they're reading the Word of God. So whatever's going on in our world, COVID, the pandemic, there have been people that they don't want to take the vaccine because they think it's the mark of the beast. Maybe they're putting a chip over there and pretty soon it's going to be the 666. I mean, there's so many things. And that's why I felt the need to go back and educate ourselves into the Word of God. Let's go back to the Bible to see really if that's what it is. We should not just be listening to whoever is saying things. Even what I'm saying to you today, don't believe me. Hold me accountable. Go into the Word and find out what it's truly saying. You know, because a lot of times people believe in whatever it is they hear out there. You know, I had a lady last year, 2020. Well, last year was 2021. In 2020, she said to me, "Hey, how are you doing?" We were chatting on Facebook. She said that she's waiting for the two witnesses. Now, you might not be familiar with the two witnesses. The two witnesses are two people that God will send during the tribulation, and that is found in Revelation chapter 11. She said she's really, literally, in 2020, she was waiting for the two witnesses to appear any moment. You know, and there are people that are like, you know, try to identify the events. There might be a war, a conflict in the Middle East, and we try to say, oh, maybe that might be it. That might be it. You know, the Antichrist at any moment is going to reveal himself to the world. You see, this has created so much confusion, even among us Christians, because of what we hear. And like I said, I see the need for God's people, for you and I, to go deeper into the Word of God. Because anything that we hear, we got to pass it through this filter. Right. Everything we hear, we got to go back into the Word of God. It's like, you're telling me that, but it's contradicting what this says. Say, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to go with this one. Everything we hear, we have to always go and check it out with the Word of God. So a lot of Christians might be intimidated, afraid. You know, some of us are now because we know what the Word of God truly says in terms of, like, you know, end times event. It is imperative that we examine the scripture to clarify our doubts and the confusions that we might have about what we hear. You know, what people are saying about the mark of the beast. Yes, the Bible does talk about the mark of the beast, but we need to understand that's going to be next week. We're going to really dive in deep into that to see what it is. Now, it's interesting when you read the book of Revelation. This is the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing for the reader and the hearers. The only book that says, "Read me, I'm special." Remember at the beginning it says, "Blessed are those who read the words of this prophecy and heed and listen to it." So we go to the Word of God to clarify our doubts. This is why I wanted to break this down in two sermons. I'm going to give you the first part today, and next week we're going to go in part two. Because, oh, another thing in the Bible, you know, a lot of people say, oh, the beast might appear. Did you know that there are actually two beasts in the Bible? Nobody tells you that. Unless you read it, you think it's only one. We're going to see what this beast is. It's also known as the Antichrist or Pseudo-Christ. So let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, so that we are introduced to the first beast. Now, keep in mind, this is the time, whatever this business going on here, when you get to chapter 13, this is the time that we know in the Bible as the tribulation, or great tribulation. Now, the tribulation is a period of time in which God will pour out his wrath on humanity. You can call it, it's payback time. God is going to come. It's also known as the day of the Lord, or day of vengeance of our God. So Revelation 13, John, the writer of Revelation, said, "And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems or crowns." Diadems is the same word for crowns. "On its horns, and blasphemous names on its head, on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like the bears, and its mouth like lion's mouth. And to it, the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of his heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but his mortal wound was healed. And the whole earth marveled at what they marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? And who can fight against it?' And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words. And it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. He opened its mouth and uttered blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, he was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given to it over, and authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with a sword he must be slain. Here's a call for the endurance and faith of the saints." Revelation 13, 1 through 10, we're going to be covering this. John, remember in chapter 4, John the Revelation writer, his call to heaven. And the Lord tells Jesus, saying, "I'm going to show you what must take place after these things." John is already seeing vision. God is showing John, the apostle John, the beloved disciple, apostle Jesus, vision of the future. Yes, this is a future vision that he's seeing. He saw a beast. Now, you see, when you read that, you might believe you're watching a science fiction movie, a beast. I mean, people have come up with creative ways trying to have a portrait of this beast that John is talking about. The first beast, it says it comes out of the sea. Now, a lot of scholars agree that the sea represents Gentile. In other words, you notice that this beast is going to be in charge of every tongue, tribe, and nation. So it's going to control the whole world during this time known as the tribulation. So scholars believe it might be a Gentile leader. Not a Jewish, it might be a Gentile leader. Because when Daniel, you read the book of Daniel, Daniel saw at least four beasts. And in Daniel's case, he saw the empire, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. He saw each of those beasts represented an empire, a kingdom. So now John sees a beast that comes out of the sea. Like I said, sea represented people when you read Revelation. So it might be a leader, not a Jewish leader, somebody who's Gentile coming. Now it says 10 horns, 7 heads. One of the things I love about the book of Revelation, when you read that, 10 horns, what is that about? If you keep on reading, it will tell you what it is. It says the horns represent this. You can see that in Revelation 17, verse 12. It tells you what those horns are for some of you who take notes. Now, the horns are powerful, 10 powerful kings or rulers that will raise up. So you see, during this time, the beast is going to have, they're going to have this, what you might call world leader, world order altogether. Him with 10 rulers or kings. Daniel also saw the same thing. Daniel chapter 7, verse 8 to 24. Now, it's interesting. When you go back in chapter 12, we are introduced to the dragon. The dragon is said to have 7 heads and 10 horns as well. When you read Revelation chapter 12. Now, the 7 heads are dominant kingdoms upon which those leaders are going to sit. So you see, it's not just going to be in the United States that things are going to be taking place. We're talking about this beast is going to control the whole world. And it's going to have 10 leaders that they all going to be in agreement to control the world. Now, ask yourself, is this happening right now? Obviously not. But there are people, you know, when the beast, during the tribulation, this is how things are going to unfold. Seven heads, seven kingdoms upon the landscape of the world history. Now, the ten crowns are the ruler's dominion or kingdoms. Like I said, in Daniel's vision, the crowns were Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Now, when you keep on reading, it says that the beast resembled a leopard. He had feet like the bear and the mouth of the lion. You go back to Daniel again. That's why a lot of times people will tell you, before you read Revelation, you need to read Daniel and Ezekiel, because they deal with beasts. So you have a better understanding when you first are introduced. If you read Revelation for the first time, you hear about a beast, you might not have any idea until you see, oh, this is what the beast represented in Daniel's case, Daniel chapter 3 and 7 and 9. So this idea of that the beast resemble a leopard means that it conquers swiftly and rapidly. Feel like a bear, this beast cannot control extensively. And the mouth of a lion, you know, the lion is the king of the jungle, it will communicate arrogantly. This is what the beast will do. I mean, look at such a leader that is going to conquer rapidly and you're going to, you know, you're going to control extensively. Yes, the whole world is going to be under their control. The beast is also known as the Antichrist. You know, and this is what a lot of people are trying to pinpoint, like, who's going to be the Antichrist now? That has not been revealed. Now we have a little description of what the Antichrist will do. I mean, controlling the whole world, not just one nation. We at least see 10 kingdoms coming, an alliance all together to do this thing. You see, that has not happened. So you should not be panicking or like trying to pinpoint who the beast is going to be. Now it says that the dragon, Satan, gave his power, his throne, his authority, verse 2, to the beast. It's interesting because you see what's going on here. You got the dragon, the beast, and the false prophets. What Satan would do towards the end of the day, he's going to emulate the Trinity. Because look, he has one of the heads, he has a wound that has been healed. It's almost like Jesus, the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Now they try to mock the Trinity. Satan, the dragon, the beast, the first beast is the Antichrist. And the second beast is known as the false prophet. Three, they're all going to come together to wage war against the lamb and his people. So it's almost like a mockery of the Trinity. You notice that the dragon gave his power to the beast. Almost like Jesus used to say, he would say, that my authority, I do what my father is telling me. Almost like this is going to be, this beast is almost pretending to be the Antichrist, like Jesus in that category, in that regard. So the dragon gave the power, the throne and authority. Like I said, this beast that we're talking about resembles at least three or the four beasts that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 3. It says they had a fatal wound that had been healed, like the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world that John saw. Now, this beast had a wound that's being already, it's almost like you only see the scars. Now, another thing too, at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to this. Who are you going to worship? We talked about that, you know, we talked about that around the Christmas story when the Magi came and said, where's the king of the Jews? We have come here to worship him. And so Joshua, in the book of Joshua, said, choose this day whom you will worship. But as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. My friend, at the end of the day, it's going to boil down who you're going to place your allegiance to, who you will worship. Because look, the inhabitants of the earth, all, it says, worship the beast. This man, as a leader, political leader, he want to be worshipped by the whole world. They worship the dragon, they worship the beast. Because the dragon has given the power and authority to the beast. Look at verse 4. And they worship the dragon, for he has given his authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who can fight against it? Do you see what's going on here? It's going to be a leader that everyone will recognize. It's not going to be hidden. Everyone will know he is the beast. He is the Antichrist. And everyone will be amazed. And they will think that he has the power to do whatever. I mean, who can fight against them? You remember a little mockery again. Remember when the Bible says, if God is for you, who can be against you? Remember that? And now look now. Who can fight against the beast? Because at that moment in time in the world history during the tribulation, the beast will deceive people to the point that they're going to worship him. Now it says, verse 5, that he was given authority for 42 months. That is 3.5 years. The tribulation, according to Daniel, will last 7 years. 7 years. So this beast, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, they're going to have dominion over the whole world. And it's interesting because you're going to see that 42 months or 3.5 years repeatedly. When you go back to chapter 11, there were two witnesses that were sent to preach to the world for 42 months. In other words, they will be preaching during this time. The two witnesses in Revelation. Now, another thing too, here's a mystery. Nobody knows who the two witnesses are. When you look at the description of Revelation, it appears that they have the power like Elijah and Moses. I personally think it's going to be Elijah and Moses because they came down and met with Jesus during the transfiguration. Remember when one time Jesus was there and Moses and Elijah. And the Bible says that they had the power to call fire from heaven, and they had the power to shut down the heaven so that it would not rain. Who did that in the Old Testament? Moses and Elijah. Other people might think it might be Moses and Enoch, because Enoch didn't die. Whoever those two witnesses might be, they're also going to appear during this time in chapter 11. And they will preach to the world for 42 months, the same time that the beast is controlling. They're going to be preaching around. Now, it says that he was blaspheming God and his dwelling and those who dwell on the earth. Now, there is also a mystery here because, you know, another thing, too, you hear, is the church going through the tribulation? There are a lot of Christians, they believe that the church is going to see this, that the church is going to go through the tribulation. There are some of us that believe that the church will not go through the tribulation. And there are some there are three camps based on the tribulation. This is a pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation. There are people who believe that the church will be raptured after the 3.5 years of the beast. And then God will take the church out. There are some that believe that the church is going to go through the 7 years of the tribulation. And then at the end, it's going to be raptured. My question is, why would we need to be raptured after we have gone through all that? I mean, just using logic, I personally believe, and I see evidence in the Bible, I'm going to show you why I do not believe the church will go through the tribulation, that the church will not be here when this is taking place, when the beast is revealed. I don't personally believe the church is here. So I and many other scholars too believe that the church will not see the tribulation. And I'm going to show you. You don't have to believe me. I mean, I'm okay. You are pre-trib or you are post-trib. We're cool. I'm going to show you from the Bible why I believe the church will not be here when the whole beast comes. Now, it says that this is one of the key right here. It said the beast is blaspheming God and his dwelling place. And then he says those who live in heaven. Why is it the beast? I mean, you're blaspheming God and everything else. Who are those who live in heaven? It's interesting. When Jesus said that the dwelling of God is in men. God is dwelling in us. So this beast is going to blaspheme God's people, those who are already with him in heaven. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, that beast did the same thing. He waged war against the saints. Now, this is why a lot of people believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation, because we have the word saints in here. Let me just read that verse again so you see. During the 3.5, because that beast is only going to have power for 3.5 years. And later on, something's going to happen to it. For 3.5 years, it's going to have total dominion of the world with this evil trinity that they have. Verse 5, and the beast was giving a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and he was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name, his dwelling, and then check it out, and those who dwell in heaven, those already with God in heaven. How did they get there? I mean, that's another question. Like, who are those people? How did they? They're already in heaven with him. We'll go back to that one later. Then he says, verse 7, also it was allowed to make war against the, war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given, and authority was giving it over every tribe, people, language, and nation. That's how you know that it would not just be something in the United States or any or European country or Islamic country. The whole world. Now, isn't that interesting? When Jesus gave the mission of the church to the disciples, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Because you want to see people, tongue, tribe, and nation. All. He wanted everyone to be his disciples. This beast during the time is going to have extensive power, dominion through over all tongue, tribe, and nation. Now, the first time you read that is by chapter 5, because John saw a vision of people. There were a crowd in heaven that no one could count from all tongue, tribe, and nation. They're already in heaven. So that's why, again, you see that the church is already in heaven by the time this is taking place. Now, this is what hit me when I was reading that. This is one of the verses that truly convicted me to be a pre-tribulationist, to believe that the church will not go through the tribulation, is this. Because this one hit me. Do you notice that it says that the beast was allowed to wage war against the saints and to conquer them? To conquer them means to overpower them, to prevail against them. I struggle with that because where in the Bible it says that the church will ever be conquered by Satan? Have you read anything that the church at the end of the day will be conquered by Satan? Then how is it that if the saints are the church, like a lot of people think that the saints is representing the church, I don't believe that the saints are the church here. This might be tribulation saints, but the church is no longer here. Because nowhere in the Bible says that the church will be conquered by the devil at the end of the day. And it's like this. We're waiting for the return of Christ. The church is called the bride of Christ. And before the wedding, he's gonna have us go through 7 years of hell, tribulation, and then now we have the wedding after. Truly, it doesn't even make sense. So this beast for 3.5 years is going to conquer. Now, conquering the saints means the saints are going to be killed. Isn't that interesting? For those saints to make it to heaven, they have to be killed. How do you conquer? How do nations and kingdom conquer others? You subjected them to, you kill them, and then now we overpower you, just like the Persians conquered the Babylonians, and the Greeks conquered the Persians, and then the Romans conquered the Greeks. So this beast is going to, for 3.5 years, it's going to wage war against the saints and conquer them. Like I said, some Christians believe that these saints represent the church, which means then the church at the end of the day will be conquered by evil. Let me show you why I don't think they are the church. The Bible says that we're not destined for wrath. What is the tribulation? The tribulation is the wrath of God being poured on mankind. Why would God pour his wrath on Christians? On the church? When he says 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God has not destined us or appointed us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one that also hit me. Jesus promised. Remember when Jesus in chapter 16 in Matthew, when he asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they say, oh, they think that you're Elijah or Jeremiah. And then he said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father who is in heaven. And then he says, and I tell you this, and I said that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And then what else he says? And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Somebody please explain that to me. How is it that now hell prevailing against the church? Was Jesus wrong then? This is what I struggle with, is when people say the church is going through the tribulation. Jesus said that not even the gates of hell will overpower the tribulation. How is it that now at the end of the day, for 3.5 years, the beast is going to overpower the saints? So either we have a contradiction, or either we have to find out that these saints do not represent the global church of Jesus Christ. The church is never overpowered by evil. The church, I mean, doesn't the Bible says that we are more than conquerors because of Jesus Christ? And he says that, Romans 8, he says, Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You and I are not destined for judgment. The tribulation is the judgment of God. It's also called the day of Jacob's trouble, the day of vengeance of our God. That's only one of the verses. I want to show you another one. Why I do not believe that the saints that are conquered by the beast represent the church. Now, these saints that we talk about, they were Christians who became Christians during that time. Because during that time, I don't know if you knew this, there will not be a great revival. There will be a lot of people that are going to come out of the tribulation. John saw that vision. There was a group of people in heaven, and he looked around. When you look at chapter 6 and 7, he asked, who are these? One of the elders said, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. Some of these saints. But how you come out of the great tribulation? Those saints will have to be killed in order for them to make it to heaven. Because when it says that the beast will wage war and conquer them, will power them, kill them. And I'm going to show you how he would do that. And then they will make it to heaven because they die. So these saints in chapter 13, verse 7, do not refer to the overall church, the faithful church. Now, they're also going to be, you see, there was one of the churches in Revelation that the Lord says, I'm going to keep you from the hour that's coming to test the whole world. Two of the seven churches in Revelation were faithful. Five were not. So think about Christians who are unfaithful. They probably had to experience that. Because when Christ comes, he's coming for his faithful bride, for his church. Now, these are tribulation saints. Like I say, in order for them to be saved, they must be put to death by the beast. These saints are those who came to know Jesus during the tribulation. How do they come to know Jesus? I told you, there are two witnesses preaching for the same amount of time that the beast will be around. Revelation 11, chapter 11, verse 3 through 12, the two witnesses will proclaim the word of God during that time. Another question too. Why, at the end of times, would God send two witnesses if the church is already here? What has always been the mission of the church? To preach, right? Preach the gospel to all nations. Why, at the end of time, do we need to have two witnesses to come and take our job and preach? Unless it's that the church is no longer there, and now we need the Lord sent two witnesses like Moses and Elijah to proclaim, giving the world a final chance. And the whole message is going to be simple. It's either who are you going to worship, the beast or the lamb? You see, it boils down to that. I hate to say it, like the Matrix, you're either with this one or you're with this one. The red pill or the blue pill, which one are you going to take? And it's at the end of the day, it's going to boil down who will you worship? So the two witnesses, so people will come through the tribulation. Oh, by the way, there also will be 144,000 Jewish people witnessing during this time. And it's interesting because when you read that description, it says that the Lord protected them from the beast for a specific time. And it's going to be a great revival. You can read about the 144,000. And by the way, they're all male Jews. And they're in chapter 7, also chapter 14. And they also going to proclaim the word of God during the time. So people will get to know Jesus because they realize, oh, I realize what's going on. So I have to honor and worship Jesus. And if you decide, you choose to worship Jesus, the beast will kill you. And then you will make it to heaven because you were slain. You became a martyr just because you refused the mark. You refused to worship the beast. So the beast will have dominion over the whole earth. Verse 7. Every tribe and people and language and nation. Now people on earth will worship the beast. Except, he says, those whose name has been written in the book of life. In the book of life of the Lamb. Those who embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior will now worship the beast. They will go to heaven. But if those who are during this time, they will have to be killed in order for them to get away from the tribulation. Because, you know, the beast is just the beginning. The beast is going to control that. And later on, it comes all the wrath, all the parts, you know, when the beast is going to really, truly see the face of Jesus. Chapter 19, Jesus is coming back to wage war against the beast. And then he says that he will capture it and kill it, throw it in. And anybody else who who had the mark, anybody else who followed the beast will have to see the face of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that's coming ticked at the nations. That's why he said this calls for endurance and faith of the saints. Again, the saints of that time, the saints of the tribulation, because there will be still preaching of the tribulation taking place there. Now, the tribulation saints make it to the presence of God in heaven, but they must be killed in order for them to make it. Isn't that interesting? Well, how? They must refuse to worship the beast, and in refusing to worship the beast will kill him. Here's another verse that you know, that in Revelation chapter 6, there's another number. You know, the book of Revelation is all about numbers, 7s and 14s and 12. There's a number of people that will be killed because of the word of God and their testimony. And in Revelation 6, John sees the vision. He sees the soul of those people who have been slain. Let me just take you there. Revelation chapter 6. This is way prior to the whole. John is in heaven and he's looking around. The Lord is showing him. Look at what happened in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 9 through following. Then he opened this is the Lamb opening the seals. Seven seals, seven bowls of wrath. So now is the seal. John says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the witness they have borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Interesting, they're shouting. They say, how long till you avenge our blood? You remember the Lord says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. These people that have been slain, they know that there's a time that God will avenge their blood. That God says, payback time, and they're waiting. They say, how long till you avenge our blood? When is that going to take place, Lord? Look what the Lord told him. Then they were, verse 11. Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. You catch that? This is the number. Say, wait until the number of those who will be killed like you is complete. Now the question will be, is you, as a student of the Bible, when is the number completed? I think those saints are going to be murdered by the beast because they make it. So there's a number of people that will be slain throughout the world because of the testimony of Jesus. It's almost like, you know, like they did that to the apostles and they persecuted during the time of Nero. A lot of Christians died. And some of those were there like, how long, Lord, until you avenge our blood? What is called the day of vengeance of our God? The tribulation time. During the tribulation time, God's going to avenge. And you see that in Revelation 19 when he's coming, that he says that the robe is stained with blood because he's waging war against those. By the way, this is also called the Babylon, the prostitute. He says that she got drunk with the blood of the saints because she killed many of the saints. Those saints were in heaven and they said, how long until you avenge our blood? How long until it's payback time, Lord? The Lord said, wait until the number of those who will be killed like you is completed. When would that be completed? Well, an inclination that number definitely will be completed when the beast conquer all the saints, the Revelation saints, that they will make it to heaven because they gave, it says that they did not waver in their faith. They rather die than to worship the beast. Interesting, a number that's still not completed until, you see, there are people, only God knows what the number is, that they will have to give their lives for the Lord. And then John said, I saw the souls of those who are being slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony. And they say, hey, Lord, how long? How long until you avenge our blood? Until the number of those who will be killed like you is completed. When will that number be completed? During the 3.5 years that the beast is going to conquer. And then that's it. When he kills the saints, there will not be any more killing of the saints. It says, he waged war against the saints and conquered them and killed them. I said the tribulation is called the day of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. Revelation 19, 17 through 20, God avenged the saints. You see that? I just gave you Kind of like the end of the movie right there. Revelation 19, Jesus is going to be killing the beast, avenging the blood of the saints. He will put an end to the beast. Remember, because he says the beast will only grant the power for 3.5 years, 42 months. And during that time, a lot of preaching is going to be going on. During that time, he will wage war against the saints and overpower them or kill them. You see, my friends, if you are a follower of Jesus, it is very clear, the Bible is very clear in assuring us that Christ's church wins at the end. It's not time for you and I to panic regardless of what anybody else is saying out there. Like I said, there might be people that believe the church is going through a tribulation. I am one of those that believe that it's not. Because the Bible says we're not appointed for wrath. The faithful church of God is never overpowered by Satan. Jesus said it. Not even the gates of Hades, that's the underworld, the gates of hell will prevail against my church. Then how is it that now Satan is winning against the church? Because these are tribulation saints that became followers during the time. Or maybe saints that were really not sure about Jesus and they never made a commitment to Christ. They were unfaithful to the Lord and now they didn't go in the first trip. They had to wait for all this to take place. And if they want to be saved, I mean, isn't that amazing? To be saved during the time you had to be killed and then make it into the presence of God. See, there's no condemnation or wrath for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, whatever you read in Revelation should not cause any fear. It should not cause you to be afraid. Because if you belong to Jesus, he said, we are more than conquerors through him. Amen? Amen. In Christ, we are victorious. That's what he promises. And he doesn't go back. He doesn't go back in his word. He always fulfills what he promises. Christ's faithful church is never overcome by Satan. We, in fact, the church transcends time. It will go. You know, and so you and I need to understand that these saints that he's talking about here, they were just tribulation saints, saints that became followers. And for tribulation saints to make it to heaven, they had to die. They had to be killed in order for them to make it. I'm going to leave it here. So that's why to be continued, because I'm gonna show you the second beast. That's the one that has the number. The mark of the beast that you hear about. But church folks, again, more than ever, we have to go back into the Word of God so that we let the Word of God teach us those things. Another thing that I realize a lot of people ignore about the Bible, especially the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation has what is known as chronology. You know, chronology is mean like this first and then this and that. So John, you see, you have the chapter 2 and 3 is the churches. Chapter 4, John is taken to heaven to show the vision. And then, you know, and then Jesus and the Lamb of God with the seals. And then all that's taking place. John says, and then the beast. So before there is a mark of the beast, there first had to be a beast. You know what I'm saying? That's a chronology. Even people say, oh, this is a mark of the beast. No, it cannot be because where is the beast? So you see, the vaccine cannot be the mark of the beast because you and I cannot identify who the beast is yet. So before there's even a mark of the beast, oh, by the way, before there's even a mark of the beast, there has to be the first beast, the Antichrist. Because the mark of the beast comes through the false prophet, which is the second beast in chapter 13, verse 11 through following. That's the one that has the mark. And his job will be that you worship the first beast. And then during that time, it's like you won't be able to buy and sell anything unless you have that mark. And the mark is never spoken of as a chip or something. Mark is more like I'm just giving you the credits of the coming soon. You know, it's a mark, it's an imprint, maybe a tattoo or something that people can see it from the distance, you know, but that hasn't happened. So before you even think about, oh, where's could that be the mark? No, it cannot be because where's the beast? There's no mark without the beast. And the beast has to be already leading for 3.5 years. Can we seriously identify the beast right now? We can't. I mean, every government is doing their own thing. So that's my friends. When somebody comes to you and tell you that, oh, send them up right there. Say, chronology. Before that happens, have to be this. It's a steps and step. Because you see the chronology of Revelation. What's happening in chapter 20 and 21? Jesus comes back. And then there's the new heavens and new earth. I mean, it's a chronology. Everything is leading up to that. The reign of Christ. So don't be deceived by what people are talking about. More than ever, I think we need to go back and just examine the Word of God. Because, you know, we might be wrong about certain things. Let this dictate. Tell us, like, oh, you know, maybe I need to recalibrate my theology based on what I'm reading here. We all need to ask God to do that because, you know, we have been taught. Like I said, my dad and I might disagree on some things. It's good. It's like, you know, this is not a matter of salvation, whether you believe you're going through a tribulation or not. You're still saved. The only thing is, if you think you're going to go through a tribulation, I'm sorry. You're going to have a tough time. I'm one of those that believe that the church is raptured before this thing really takes place. You see many evidence. John, come up here. In chapter 11, the two witnesses, after they died, the Lord took him out. And then he took him out in preparation for what? And then you hear about the seven bowls of wrath. And then boom, everything now, God's punishing those people to the point that many of the kings were saying, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Who can stand? Remember they were saying, who can be like the beast? And now it's like, who can stand against the Lamb? Because now it's payback time. So chronology in the book of Revelation is important. We have to see that. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Thank you.